still studying the word receive. Dekomai, which means to accept into one's family, to bring up. And we're studying it in relationship to what it means to be born again. So the next scripture is James 1. No, I'm sorry. We got to go someplace else first. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And he that died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, the reason you know no man after the flesh is because you are no longer after the flesh. The new creature is not new in in time or new in fixing you in any way. It's new in that it came from above. It doesn't have any reference to the past or the future. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and you know therefore no man after the flesh. You have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know you him no more. Now what does that mean?
You know him in relation to what he can do for you, and how he can fix you up, what he means to me.
Right, and it has nothing to do with you. You're dead. That's what we just saw. If one died for all, then we're all dead. And so the new creature is not new, improved you. It's something new that you had that has no reference to you any longer, except as a vessel. Now, and from that point forward, life is no longer analog. It's no longer going, improving, or not improving, or it's either in the new creature or in the old man. There's no in between. You are always either a vessel of wrath or a vessel of mercy. You're either part of the bride or part of the whore. There's no in-between. And the fact that there is no in-between is really troubling, because it negates time. Totally. Everybody understand that a little bit?
I'm just thinking how, behold, all things become new, but the new never stops. It's like you don't start a new life with now, collecting pictures and stuff like that, to remember the newness. That newness is continual, which makes it always eternal.
Amen. All right, so the new creature is the operative word here. So let's go to James 1. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tested or tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The only way you can understand this is you have to believe and see and know that never again is flesh have anything to do with anything. And that includes your mind and your soul and your emotions. You're out of the picture. Now this is really, really, really bad news. Unless you know the emptiness and futility of everything else. Anyway, back. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So that's what we want. We want it to bring forth death. And so if you circumcise yourself, then you will always live in your mind. You will always, you'll continue to think about the things, and you'll continue, but you will think that you're being spiritual because you've stopped, you've circumcised yourself. But your mind is the great tell in the cosmic poker game. Because God doesn't care what the outside is doing. He cares only about that new creation, which is your new self, your only self, which is Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. But your flesh is never again to be tempted or tested. It has nothing to do with your flesh. It's settled. And hopefully your baptism sealed it. Because your baptism was your burial. Now, this is so simple that remember, the last few days we've been talking about looking through the eyes of faith, where Moses, it said and that he killed an Egyptian soldier, because the soldier was messing with one of the Hebrews, and he had somehow known that he was a Hebrew. When he killed him, there was a price tag on his head, even though he was going to be the next Pharaoh. So he fled. But Hebrews 11 says that he didn't... Let's real quick. This backwards to the left a couple pages. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now remember, when my deal was, I was trying to find a contradiction, and here was a biggie. In Exodus it says he fled for his life, left Egypt and went into the Sinai, into Midian. Stayed there 40 years. In Hebrews it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. The point is that faith didn't see anything except that he forsook the world. Now the only way you can live this life is you have to begin living and seeing and hearing through the eyes of faith instead of the eyes of the flesh. That you see through everything. Does this sound... I mean, it's not difficult.
sit in one dimension where you don't see anything but an image, you see in several dimensions, 3, 4, 5 dimensions. And then the picture is clear. That's a parable. But
right. You never look at.
Yeah.
You see through. All right. Back to James.
James?
2 pages. To the right.
Yes, of course.
Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Chapter 1.
What does that mean? Do not err.
Don't be mistaken in your understanding. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us. Begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Now that's, we are the first fruit. We're no longer the flesh. Then why would you pay any attention to what you can see, feel, sense, or in any way? What?
I'm just answering the question. Why would you do that?
It's called being ignorant.
Yeah, but it's also why we meet often, and it's the weakness of the flesh that without the bride.
While we exhort one another daily, what it is still called today. And I promise you, by the exhortation, no one likes to be exhorted. As I've found out very painfully. You just love to have your own little opinions. This is what I think about that. Nobody cares what you think. Nobody cares what I think. Unless it's proven in the scriptures, it is nothing. Less than nothing. Unless it's seen through the eyes of the cross, it's just plain garbage. All right. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver or gold, from your vain manner of life or conversation received by tradition from your fathers. And do you understand that that's the only way we have developed a manner of life is because it's something we received from someone else. And we've invented ourselves. And it's a false self. It's not real. But oh, how you love the unreality. All right. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And the word there is rhema. The word made flesh, the word complete in you. And this is the word, the logos, which by the gospel is preached unto you. So we are born again, not of corruptible seed. Not all of the human race's sperma or seed is corruptible, because it denigrates with time. Therefore, anything that you put the name of God onto that denigrates with time, you're taking the name of the Lord in vain. So again, everything about this born-again experience has nothing to do with, oh, there's 60% of the Americans are born again, or whatever that means. You know, you're not born again because you say you're born again. You're born again because of the will of God, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man.
So we have no decision in the...
except your emptiness. You're seeing that life is empty and futile. Until you see that, it's just a philosophy. Well, that's big of you. That was nice of you. I'm sure he really appreciated it. He really needed that. Do you see? This is big. It doesn't get any bigger. Anybody?
Well, then that next step, which is a funny way to say it, but then there's that newness of life, which is always the newness of life. Like it never is not. But the enemy steps in and tries to make it different.
Right. Again, anytime you give breath, if any man love, well, let's go to 1 John. It's right next door. A couple pages to the right. Chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world. A love there is the Greek word agapeo, the common verb. It means to give breath to, give importance to. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world or the things that are in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So every time that you give breath to something in the world, you give importance to it, what happens? You've resurrected the evil one. You've fallen from the strong city. And even though Christ is your life, his humility is so great that he will not occupy where you are. And so he goes back into the prison you've created for him deep within your bowels. Well, I'm just going to continue living and doing stuff, and then God will hit me over the head. No. That's what people want. They want him to arise. They want the day of the Lord to be here. Let's go to Amos for a minute.
Amos.
Yeah.
Whoa. Left or right?
Chapter 5. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord.
Where'd you go? Chapter 5?
Chapter 5, Amos, verse 18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Should not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark with no brightness in it? I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offering of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I'll not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as the mighty stream. Now what does all that mean? He hates our feast days that he ordained. He hates him if you see him only as feast days, because each of the days of the feast are a revelation of his son. And a simple, each one of them has a simplicity to it that demands your seeing the emptiness and futility of everything else. Amen. Let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you've borne the tabernacle of your Molech and Cheam, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Now, you have borne the tabernacle of Sukkoth, which is one vowel point away from the Feast of Tabernacles, and it means abhorrence. You have borne the tabernacle of abhorrence, the tabernacle of your king, Molech, and the cultic cake of your images, the star of your gods, which you made for yourself. That's targuming that phrase, or that verse 29. Molech is one vowel point away from Molech as the phony god, Melech is the true king. One vowel point away. The minute that you are in the picture, then you're Melech becomes Molech. And then you will worship the God of your imaginations. Even though you put Jesus' name on him forever. Now this is why every man killed him. Everyone. Every one of us.
This is the essence of Thomas right there, isn't it?
Resurrection God?
Yeah, you make up your own Jesus and worship him and think you're doing the right thing.
You seem amused.
Well, I'm just thinking about when I gave that talk to the Mensa about, I'm not the Mensa, to the atheists. I told them there was no such thing as an atheist, that they were just worshiping the stupid God themselves. They did. And then I said, we've heard me say this before, but I said, every man worships. You worship what you give breath to. Every man sacrifices. You sacrifice to what you worship. Every man tithes. You tithe to your chief God. Every man prays because your prayers are your thoughts. When you're praying, worshiping, tithing, sacrificing to the stupid God, you. But oh, you think it's so important. Again, I don't care how many times you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's not even in the Bible. I don't care how many times you've made a decision for Christ. That's not in the Bible. God cares only about the religion that's going on deep within you. He cares nothing for the outward appearance. What?
Well, this is tantamount to born again.
That's why we're studying it, yeah.
It's already there. The idea that you have the ability to make something happen that's already done.
Yeah, but you have to repent.
Make ego trip.
Totally. Empty. 1 John, back again. One more verse, and then we're going to... 1 John chapter 3. Verse 7. Or verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, again, this is another contradiction that I thought, man, do I have you now, God? For in 1 John chapter 1, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Here it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, that's a biggie.
Oh, yeah.
God, I got you this time. Obvious contradiction. Anybody else troubled by that?
Yeah, a little bugged.
All right, we'll continue on that trouble tomorrow. That's big of you. That's what, you're going to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Oh, why do I make fun of people? Because I'm an asshole, that's why.
No, I made
it. Take it, big guy.
I made it.